Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Dire Straits. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. We're going to go right to the phones because patiently waiting from the another park over on the west slope, we have Pete Furman from the park over there, the Robb State Park. And I stumbled on the name, Pete. It's the James M. Robb State Park. So
yeah, it's James M. Robb Colorado River State Park.
Yeah, you know, it's it's not only hard for me to remember the name, but it's a different kind of park. So why don't you kind of explain
it's
the park?
It's a river-based park. It's basically got five larger park sections, and then much of it is linked by a riverfront trail that spans throughout the Grand Valley here in Grand Junction.
Right, and that's a great way for people to know how to locate it. It's right along the valley, just outside of Grand Junction, right?
It goes through Grand Junction. So basically, it's east of Palisade down to Fruta, to include Grand Junction.
And it's got some beautiful amenities. In fact, we're going to talk some more waterfall hunting with you, but there's a lot of other things. I believe you have year-round camping, don't you?
Yeah, we have year-round camping, and the two sections with camping are Island Acres, that's the one east of Palisade, and then Fruta, which is, you know, essentially within the Fruta city limits. And that's the span of the park. So those two wings both have camping in them.
Now, are you on the new reservation system?
Yes, we are. So there's a reservation system for camping, but also we're on the reservation system for waterfowl hunting, and it's the same phone number, same access point for both of those. And one of the things that's new this year is reservations are required for the waterfowl hunting blinds, and new for the year coming up, basically, is you're going to have reservation-only camping. So camping reservations are going to be required, but you can make them real time. You can essentially arrive, make the reservation, and take care of it that way, or be leaving Denver and be able to make the reservation on the way over. Historically, the camping reservation was a 3 to 6 month window, and now it's essentially real time to 6 month window that you're looking at.
And I think this is going to, it's more and more of the parks. Eventually, I think all the parks will be on it for camping. And I think it just works out wonderfully because a lot of times you get an opportunity to take that last minute trip. You can look and see if there's openings, or you're driving around, not sure where you want to go. You can pull into the park. And if you see a campsite, get your phone out. And if you have phone service there, you can either call or go online and reserve it right then. So it's a tremendous system. I think more people are getting used to it, but I think as more and more of the parks get on, it's going to be better. Now, another thing about your camping down there is it isn't only the activities in the parks. You're kind of in the hub of there's trail riding, there's the wine country. There's just a number of things right there for people to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of recreational opportunities in Grand Junction and the Mesa County area, and it continues to expand. So on the east side, so Palisade and Island Acres, and you've got initial development of the Palisade Plunge going on, and that's going to be a mountain bike trail that takes you from the top of the Mesa, roughly 34 miles down into Palisade, and it's 6,000 foot elevation drop. That's why it's the plunge. But they've completed the first third of that, and they'll continue working on that next year. And then you also have a linkage from Grand Junction to the Lunch Loops or Topwatch Trail system near the National Monument. That's been created this year. And then you've got a link between City of Fruta and Loma. So people could stay at the park in Fruta, get on their mountain bike and literally ride to the Cocopelli Trail system and ride that area and really use the park as a hub for any one of those activities.
And like I think you told me, that would be an over a 40-mile ride if you did it all.
If you did the Palisade Plunge, I mean, that's 34 miles. If I'm understanding things, maybe it's Island Acres to Fruta. Yeah, you could be on trails essentially from Palisade. You'd have to start in Palisade. There's no link from Palisade to Island Acres right now. But if you get on the trail in Palisade, you could essentially ride to Loma, and that would be 40 miles.
And Island Acres has some fishing opportunities too, right?
Just about all the park sections have fishing opportunities. So Island Acres is primarily going to be for trout, but you also have some bass that you can catch over there. And then Fruta, it's pretty much trout and crappie. And then kind of the middle parks, Connected Lakes, what's called the Wildlife Area, and Corn Lake, those all have warm and cold water species also that folks can fish for.
And that's open water and ice fishing, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of here the temperatures are mild enough that some years we do ice over. Others it stays ice-free throughout the wintertime. So usually the ice fishing season, if it does get cold enough, is about a month. Otherwise, it's open water fishing.
Let's talk about those hunting blinds now. We're seeing more and more people are understanding what a great place to hunt waterfowl Colorado is, because we have virtually two flyways, and the western part of the state, you're in the Pacific Flyway. And I don't know if you heard any of the earlier parts of the show. We've been talking some waterfowl, and a lot of waterfowl, resident waterfowl, got chased away earlier in the year. And we got that extreme cold weather that came a week or so ago, and it started driving both ducks and geese down from Montana and even Saskatchewan and those areas. And at first we were fearful it was going to stay cold and they'd go right by us, but it's opened up and it's warm. And I think we're seeing migratory birds come in, and we will, and they're tending to stay. Is that what's happening where you're at?
Yeah, and Jerry, I had a little bit of difficulty understanding the question, but the flyway over here, or the early hunting season that we had over here, that was probably more successful than I've seen any year since I've been here, just because of those cold temperatures and some of the storms that came in that pushed the birds. And whereas normally it's clear skies, warm weather, and we don't see as much success this last winter, this last season we actually saw a fair amount of success, and we're starting to see some success with this season that just started.
Now, unlike some of the other areas, your blinds are on the reservation system. How does that work?
Okay, so the reservation system, you can go online, and that window is 0 to 14 days. So same thing with the camping. You can make a reservation immediately, and it's actually required for the blinds over here. So you'd go onto the website, or you would call the 1-800 number, and that's 1-800-244-5613. And see if the blinds are open. You can make the reservation real time and then occupy it. And the properties I manage, the reservation is actually required to hunt the blind. So there's no cost associated with the reservation, and there's no cost for the camping either. But because of some of the unique characteristics within my park, we do require that folks have reservations.
And how many blinds do you have?
I have 6 blinds on the park that I manage.
Okay, and I'm sure there's probably some other opportunities around you also in wildlife areas and things, right?
Correct. So you've got Tillman Bishop Wildlife Area that has some blinds, and then you've got the blinds down at Horse Thief Canyon State Wildlife Area.
You know, it's just great that the parks have stepped up to provide all these resources for waterfowl hunters, because there's a lot of places where you have to pay huge dollars to go waterfowl hunting, and with the blind systems they supply, you guys supply, just gives the average guy a chance to get out and do some hunting. So I'm sure there's more information on the website.
There is more information on the website, and I guess I'll give a shout out to the waterfowl hunting public. A lot of the habitat work we've done on my park was funded from the habitat stamps and the duck, the waterfowl stamps that those hunters provide. And so it seemed reasonable, as long as it can be done safely, to add those opportunities within the park. And as long as it's compatible with the trail use, I don't see an issue with it. So, it's been a great partnership, for lack of a way to put it, and really has allowed us to improve the condition of the park for everyone's benefit.
That sounds great, Pete. Thank you for joining us and making the public aware of these opportunities.
All right. Thanks, sir.
You bet. That's Pete Furman from over there. West Slope has great opportunities. By the way, we're going to be talking to Mark Kite from Sun Power Sports here in just a minute. And have you ever seen the trail riding opportunities over there on the West Slope? We'll talk about that and so much more on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.